Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge, a podcast about increasing radical rhetoric in modern politics with a common sense spin. Enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, or perhaps this month, Politically Fatigued, because I want to talk to you today about Pride. As you probably well know, because I never shut up about it, I am a gay guy, and I just want to talk about my perspective of Pride Month so far, because we are 7 days into it, and I've never been so disappointed in the human race in my entire life. One of the standard questions that you face as a gay person quite often when Pride comes up in topic is, what are you so proud of? And the genuine answer for me is being alive. I spent so much of my youth being abused for being gay. It was very, very obvious. I love people that say there's no such thing as LGBT plus children. I used to tell my friend that I wanted to marry him when we were six. Trust me, I knew that I was gay when I was very young. I just didn't know what the word gay was. And the reason that I'm proud is that I'm proud of growing up and thriving in a world where people literally didn't want me to and still don't. The issue that I want to talk about is that we are seeing this huge hate movement being mobilized across the world against us at the moment. And so many people are just so terrible when it comes to how to deal with it. If all the people who claimed to care about LGBT plus people collectively rose up today and said, you're absolutely not doing this, this hate movement would die on its feet overnight. But they don't. I'm so tired of people not understanding the paradigm that they put us in and against that's so obvious. So I'll try and explain it as patiently as I can, but I'm probably going to lose my temper during this. As you'll have seen at the moment, there is a huge concentrated hate movement against trans people. It's by extension created a larger movement against just LGBT plus people in general. And it's so frustrating to witness because, I mean, not just because it's happening in the first place, but because when we go up against these people, we're treated like our opinions are of equal relevance to those who literally hate us and don't want us to survive and don't get healthcare and not be free and not be allowed to be who we are. And it's just absolutely mad to me that people see it this way. And when you do lose your temper with these people, when you do shout at them, when you do tell them to shut up, when you do call them evil or bitches or horrible people, suddenly you're the bad one. Why can't you just deal with them civilly? Well, because they're talking about eradicating us or that we're a cancer on society or calling us pedos and perverts and groomers. That's why. Would you be respectful to people who say the same thing to you? You don't have to be respectful to people that don't respect you, but we're always expected to be respectful and make these concise, lovely arguments against people who literally don't want to include us in society because they're too stupid to understand that other people than them exist and are equally valuable. Additionally, I think what stresses me out so much, and I've been talking about this a lot recently, is how many people are desperate to wear the badge of ally, but refuse to also wear the bulletproof vest that you need to have on if you truly are an ally. If you really care about a community, then you will gladly take the lickings that come your way for saying that you support that community. I see so many people who will throw out a quick, I support Pride and everyone who celebrates it. And then they get piled on by the deranged hate jackals that are against us. And they'll be like, oh, well, no, because everyone deserves value. No, homophobic people don't deserve parity with gay people. TERFs don't deserve parity with trans people. It's insane to think that that's a thing that you can say and that people aren't going to be annoyed about it. And it's happened so many times recently. Yesterday, Omid Jalili, who I greatly respect because he's done so much good work with letting the world know what's happening in Iran, decided to share Matt Walsh's transphobic video called What is a Woman? That video is literal propaganda designed to stir up hatred against trans people and further dehumanize them in the eyes of a bunch of people who don't think that trans people are human at the best of times. Jalili's arguments for doing it were ridiculous. I didn't know who Matt Walsh was. Well, don't share things from people you don't know then, you absolute clod. I just want an answer to the question, what is a woman? Okay, well, maybe ask a woman instead of a guy who literally describes himself as a theocratic fascist and thinks that it's good when girls get married at 14 and get pregnant at 16 because they are, and I quote from Matt Walsh himself, they're most fertile then. And rather than do the decent thing and listen to the community that he's slighted, he's doing this, well, at least it's opened up some really good, solid discussion. Yeah, because what trans people really need to do is get into lengthy discussions with people that think that they're less than human and try and justify themselves through that. That is definitely what trans people need to be doing with their day, Omid. The problem is that so many people want to be an ally until they're challenged on something that they've done to offend or hurt the community that they claim to care about. And that's not what allyship is. I can give you examples. I just talked about this on a video. I kind of was really ignorant when it came to racial injustices in the world up until a few years ago. I just assumed that nobody was dumb enough to be racist. And that was obviously, that's like the biggest privilege I could ever say, that I just assumed that racism wasn't really a thing anymore. But it was kind of thrust in our faces, wasn't it? You know, everybody thinks of BLM as that like pivotal moment when everyone suddenly was like, oh wow, it's worse than we thought. Whereas I started a little bit before that. I remember the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery in the street, and I was just like, how does that happen in a supposedly civilized country? Like, it makes no sense to me that that's just happened and that nothing's really going to happen to the people that did it. Then George Floyd kicked off, and with what happened to George Floyd, what happened with Ahmaud, what happened to Breonna Taylor, and there were so many more people coming up, it just opened my eyes to maybe I should really pay attention to this. And, you know, when you talk about allyship, it really isn't easy to actually immerse yourself in active anti-racism or to be a really decent ally to a community, because it does involve self-reflection. And I tried to do that as best I could. Obviously, I'm not perfect and I'm willing to take my lickings when I do things wrong, because I think that's what you need to do as an ally. But I think that there's a lot of things that have contributed to why people act the way that they do. It's seen as like anathema to be wrong about something or to do something daft and to be called out for it. I only did it yesterday. I quote tweeted the Channel 4 LGBT plus network, because they said, oh, we stand with trans people. And I quote tweeted them and was like, you aired a transphobic documentary that was a puff piece for Kathleen Stock. Don't pretend that you care about trans people. And then when people pointed out, they're not actually the people that did it. That's the community in the channel that kind of speak about LGBT plus issues. They don't have power. I was like, ah. And I deleted it. But I certainly tried to double down on it first until I stopped trying to be precious and be always right about everything. And, you know, it was the same with the whole, I was like, I really have to be 100% honest if I'm going to do this actual anti-racism work. So I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. I've got quite a few books over there that are written by people of color about their experiences, and in particular talking about, you know, hierarchy, white supremacy, the things that they've been through in their lives. I watch a lot of anti-racism content done by people of color on the internet. I listen to podcasts about it. And the amount of times I've felt myself get fragile about things that are being said, and I've got genuinely pissed off and been like, no, that's nonsense. That doesn't apply to me. And that's just such an unhelpful way to approach it. You are going to find things out about yourself that you didn't know were there, and you are going to feel uncomfortable, and you're going to get mad. It's your reaction to that that really matters. If all you do when someone calls you out or you feel called out is to just go, no, that's not true, fuck off, all you're doing is looking after your own comfort. And you don't have to agree with everything. This is the thing. I think a lot of people think that it's about just slavishly agreeing with everything everyone says, and that's not the case. It's not about that. It's about listening and giving things a fair hearing and then deciding what to do with it. You don't have to agree with absolutely everything, but listening doesn't harm you, does it? And I think the other thing is that people so desperately want to call themselves allies, but they don't actually ask the communities that they claim to care about whether they are. I don't think that we should claim the title ally for ourselves, even though I know that I thoughtlessly do it all the time. You shouldn't call yourself an ally. You should be given that title. You should be called an ally, but I don't think you should call yourself one. And I do need to watch myself on that, and I think a lot of people need to do. And I'll explain a little bit more because it will make more sense. It's kind of the like antonym of non-people in a minority group deciding what a minority group should find offensive. The amount of times a day I read, that's not homophobic, that's not transphobic, that's not racist, by people who aren't affected by the sentiments they're putting out, drives me mad. If you aren't a gay or a bi person, you do not get to decide what is homophobic. If you aren't a trans person, you don't get to decide what is or isn't transphobic. Take your notes from the community who is offended by the thing that you're saying. Additionally, there's this real fixation that I talk about all the time with freedom of speech, and it's definitely driven by absolute losers like Suella Braverman, who says things like, oh, offending people isn't illegal and we all have the right to... Oh, it was Kathleen Stock the other day who said, we have the right to offend. But these people are so hypocritical, because what they want is for them to be able to be offensive, but to never get answered back to. Stock and a bunch of other people have been complaining about an Oxfam advert that came out that shows a bunch of TERFs purposely trying to offend transgender people. And when people have complained about this advert, saying that it's offensive, you go on their profile and it'll be like, proud TERF in the bio. Well, this is what you do. You harass people on the internet, and now you're upset about the fact that people are calling you out for harassing people on the internet. How do you reconcile that in your head, that you can do it, but you're not allowed to be called out for it? It's the most double standardization nonsense I've ever seen. And Kathleen Stock talks about the right to offend. If you want the right to offend, then go for it, but don't act all shocked Pikachu.jpg when people offend you back. Again, I just want to hark back to what I said earlier. The amount of times that I get called a paedophile, a pervert, a groomer, just because I'm a gay guy. And I'm expected to make civil conversation with people that do that. I'm expected to try and move their understanding of who I am forward by being understanding. If there's people out there who are more patient, who can work on people like that, then go for it. But I refuse to enter into any kind of meaningful dialogue with someone who thinks that of me. I value their opinion so little that I don't see the point in engaging with them. It doesn't do anything for me, and it's not that I see that I should have something done for me by a conversation, but what's the point in me engaging in conversation with someone who thinks that little of me, or that thinks that I am genuinely those things that they're accusing me of? It's pointless. Allyship is really difficult if you're actually doing it honestly. One of the things that tends to happen if you try and be an ally to a community is that you are naturally going to soak up some of the bigotry and hatred that they get. I know that people are going to think that I'm only saying this because I'm talking about trans issues, but I make a lot of feminist content. I talk about the shit that women go through. I talk about the issues that women of colour go through. Not because I'm trying to score points with anyone, but because I actually care. The lack of decent healthcare for women and people who go through conditions like PCOS, or the disgusting things that happen to women of colour who give birth and aren't given proper pain meds because there's still a persistent myth that women of colour feel less pain. It's crazy. And these things happen on the daily, on the weekly, on the monthly, and people don't talk about it. And the irony is, when you do talk about these things, you get abuse. I get so many people calling me a pick me. Who am I trying to get picked by? Women? I'm gay, you fucking losers. What do you think that I'm trying to get picked for? So I can critique their shoes or borrow them for a night out? Get real. I just care about other human beings. Half of the time when I get homophobic shite on the internet, it's because I'm standing up for transgender people. And it's so funny, because these people will be like, oh, trans people's existence is a slight on the LGB. And then I, a gay man, will be like, transphobia is nonsense. And they'll tell me that I'm a traitor to gay people, and they'll use homophobic bullshit against me, or ask me questions about what I would do with a trans person. Literally none of your business, babes. It's absolutely bizarre, and this weird rhetoric is so normalised at the moment that people just don't see how fucking weird it is. People don't see how weird it is to go onto the internet and approach a complete stranger and be like, do you have a penis? And one of the sad things is there are so many people out there who are absolutely hankering to be called an ally while doing everything but actually proving that that's the case. Like I say, if you absorb some of the hatred that we face, think of that times a thousand and understand that's what we go through all the time. It's been happening a lot with brands recently. Oxfam's video that got taken down, and then they released a statement essentially saying, oh, everyone has feelings. Yeah, I know that anti-trans people have feelings. I just think that they're awful people, so I don't care about them. And maybe that's harsh, but I don't see why I should care about people's feelings when they don't care about other people's feelings. It's simple maths. And for example, I've just mentioned this on my video as well. I've just seen someone who I know quite well, who I know as a person in person, use really casual homophobia on the internet. And I don't even call them out, because I know if I do, if I say, that's really inappropriate, and this isn't the first time I've seen you say stuff like this, as if you're making a good point when you are just being homophobic, I don't think you understand how insensitive you're coming across. I know that they will definitely paint themselves as the victim. Oh, I said one thing. It's a joke. Oh, everyone always comes at me. Look at what I've done my whole life. I've always tried to be pro whatever. Just accept that you've done something stupid, you know? There's this absolute maddening thing where people just cannot go, oops, you're right, I shouldn't have done that. I will take it back. I will take it down. My apologies. That's all it takes. And you cannot get that basic accountability, not just out of big accounts, like I said about Omid Jalili or anybody else that does these stupid things, but even from just everyday people, just don't say insensitive shit. And if you do, say, I'm very sorry, I will take that down. But people are so desperate to justify themselves that they cannot admit to mistakes. And it's no wonder that society is this just quagmire of never being able to learn, because nobody can think critically about what they've done. I think reflecting on my own journeys that I've been through kind of highlight to me why we're in such dire straits. I have two sisters who are both older than me, and they're both awesome people. And I've always, you know, I always really respected my mum, apart from some of the things she said about me being gay, but whatever. But one of the things that stressed me out was that I used to be like, I'm obviously like a feminist and an ally to women. And I never questioned that. I was always just like, because that's the way it is. I think men and women are equal, and I think it's nonsense what comes out in the press is about women and what stupid men say about them. But it's so much more detailed than that. I carried bigotry that was unconscious around with me for years. And I thought that I was an exception and I could say and do things because I thought I was a feminist. It doesn't work that way. Things happen in your brain that you don't know are there. And once you're made aware of them, you have a choice to either deal with those things and improve as a person and move on and try and keep to what you've learned. Or you can ignore them and push them down and they'll continue to happen. And then you're fully at fault because you chose not to deal with what you know is there. This Pride Month has been so frustrating. And this last few years in particular has been so frustrating because I remember so clearly this like Renaissance period that we went through when it felt like being a gay guy was no big deal. It was great. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody asked me weird questions. Everyone treated me exactly the same as I hoped that they would. Yes, the thing is, I think I understand sometimes, and I think I empathize with women, because there is this weird thing that gay guys get treated with sometimes, especially if you're as camp as me, that is a little bit paralleled with misogyny. I think I understand what it must be like to go through misogyny, because heterosexual men, especially like typically heterosexual men, will treat people like me with kind of the similar little slightly sarcastic offhand kind of, oh, little boo kind of nonsense that they treat certain women with. And I've seen it, and it really frustrates me. And it's another reason that I really empathize with women, because I see women being spoken down to no matter how hard they work at it. It drives me crazy. But that feeling of kind of being in that Renaissance period where everything just seemed to be so much better is gone. I'm genuinely afraid. I was walking through my city centre the other day and I walked past a woman who held a placard that was basically lecturing people that gays stole the rainbow, and she was shouting at the top of her voice into a microphone about it. And, you know, I just kind of rolled my eyes and walked on. But everyone around was there as well. Nobody called that bullshit out. I didn't really feel like I could, because it's now the third time I've seen open bigotry on the main street of my city. And I know that one time one of the preachers got arrested, and the other two times it's just gone by and nobody said or done anything about it. And people will do this live and let live stuff. You know, we'll let them have their opinions. They're allowed it. They are allowed it. But how would you feel if I stood on the main street in my city and started talking about anti-religion and how all religion is awful? Because that's how I feel, but I keep it to myself, as I should, because it's you shouldn't have to hide your religion or feel shamed or angry because I think that religion is bad. You're allowed to have it. You're allowed to practice it. You're allowed to be and think whatever you want. I'm never going to do that to people because I think it's insane. But these people do it. And then when I get mad, I'm told to live and let live. They're not living and letting me live, so why should I let them live and let live? I only do it because I'm a decent human being that would never shame people for having ideas I disagree with. But maybe we should. This is the overarching problem. There's so much of this like anti-LGBTQIA rhetoric just mainstreamed now that people don't even question it. People don't stand up to it. Even people that say that they're allies will hear it and just be like, that's disgusting, that. Yeah. You have more societal power than us to fight back against it. And if you and everybody that thought that stood up and against it, it would fade out pretty fucking quickly. But you don't. You just let it continue. Live and let live. People are allowed different ideas. Blah, 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 blah. What does it take? How much societal erosion do people have to watch before they decide they're going to stand up for communities who are disadvantaged? It's so strange. And another thing is the fact that we are always pitted against society. This happens all the time. I literally saw it this morning. there was a guy who had posted a video on Instagram where he'd said, oh, just so you know, June is Men's Mental Health Month, but all they'll talk about is Pride. And I was like, lots of people that celebrate Pride also have bad mental health, you absolute clod. But if you want to talk about men's mental health, why don't you talk about men's mental health instead of paralleling it with Pride? Because people are allowed to celebrate Pride and talk about men's mental health. And if the only time you talk about men's mental health is in opposition to Pride instead of in parallel or just nothing to do with it, then I don't think you really care about men's mental health. And I'm speaking from the perspective, by the way, as someone who is a man who tried to kill himself in 2016 and made some very detailed plans about how I was going to do it. So trust me, I care about men's mental health, which is why I also know that International Men's Mental Health Month is November, and there's an entire week in June which is dedicated to speaking about men's mental health and stopping the stigma. But unless you're walking around in one of those brands that specifically funds men's mental health outreach, unless you're actually making regular content about engaging with men about their mental health, all I do is think that you're complaining about something that doesn't directly include you, and you're butthurt about the fact that, for once, something isn't about you. We get told regularly, oh, why do they get a month? Well, because you people used to saw us in half. Do you know what I mean? There's no gentler way that I can put this. They used to tie gay men upside down, one leg to one stick, one leg to another, and saw us in half if they found out that we were gay. Then they came up with conversion therapy, something which has a 0% success rate. It doesn't work, but they'd rather torture us than just let us be who we are. You don't even, this is the thing that annoys me the most, you don't even have to be a huge ally. You don't even have to stand there with a Progress Pride flag, walking up and down the street in high heels, waving it and shouting "Yas Queen." You just have to shut the fuck up and let other people who aren't you live. Don't legislate against us. Don't make up rumours about us. Don't lie about us. Don't try and fight us or intimidate us. Just fucking leave us alone. If you see people in the street celebrating Pride and you don't like it, walk on. Go away. Close your eyes. Turn the TV over. I don't care if you do that. I care if you act like we're forcing our lifestyle down your throat when I've spent every minute of every day for the last 35 years reading bullshit articles about romance between men and women and being told about men and women and watching men and women fondle and kiss in the street and watching heterosexual marriages go on and heterosexual storylines and reading heterosexual novels, looking at heterosexual magazines. That is having something forced down your throat. But I don't care, because it isn't me, and I'm fine with the fact that other people live that way. Why can you not pay the same deference? Just because something isn't catered to you 24/7 doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's not for you, and you don't have to react with anger. You could just find one of the other million things that is catered to you. The big problem that I see is that this wave of bigotry is not going away. Things are getting worse every minute of every single day. And the longer it takes for people to stand up and stand with us and against it and say, this is wrong and bad and you need to stop, it's just going to continue. And I really, really wonder how many people claim to enthusiastically care about the LGBTQIA and who are somehow failing to speak up, failing to do anything about this, failing to call their family members and their friends out on their nonsense. How many people say that they care about us but don't? And the thing for me is, it's about honesty. It's kind of interesting to live in this day and age, because a lot of people are showing the honesty that I at least expect from them. You don't have to support me. I don't want your support. I don't want you to like me. I don't want you to accept me, other than the fact that I live in the world with you and I want you to leave me the fuck alone if you don't like me. That's fine. Again, I don't want a bunch of allies clad in spandex walking up and down the street, waving flags and talking about how great we all are just because of our sexuality or gender. I just want people to accept that we exist and leave us alone. And I don't think that that's too much to ask. And the irony is, every time these people stand up and they fight against our inclusion in TV shows and try and legislate against us and put don't say gay bills and make anti-trans legislation, or they attack us in the street, or they burn down our buildings or rip our flags down, it just proves that we need to continue to force down your throat, if you want me to put it that way, the idea that we're always going to exist. It does not matter what you do to us. You can treat us as heinously as you want, but we are always going to exist. Not because we're indoctrinated, not because it's a choice, which doesn't matter, by the way, but because it's who we are. And you don't have to like it, but it's a fact. So to say that you guys are all facts over feelings, you might want to try absorbing the fact that we're always going to exist, whether you like it or not. And you can either coexist with us peacefully and just deal with it, or you can make our lives difficult. But the thing that you need to remember is There was a time when there was a thing called the Gay Liberation Front, and the radical stuff that they used to do to make sure that people realised that we weren't going away and we needed to be accepted is probably something you're not going to want to live through again. I've said this before, and I know that it sounds threatening, but it's just a fact. If you back people into a corner over and over and over and over and over again, you leave them very little choice about how it is that they're going to survive, and they're going to do bad things to you. If you don't want people to do bad things to you, don't back them into a corner. The choice is yours. You guys could move on and live your happy little lives and do whatever it is that you need and want to do to fulfill yourselves. But if what that is bigotry and attacking people who just want to live in peace, you're going to have problems. And you can't be surprised when that's the case. Ultimately, some of the people I'm most frustrated with are people who claim allyship, but who prove with actions that you aren't. One of my favourite examples is probably Rowling. She consistently speaks over LGB people because she thinks that trans people are bad, or whatever it is that she thinks. I don't really care. I'm not interested in listening to JK Rowling because she's proved to me that her words aren't worth listening to. I care about women and girls, not at the expense of trans people. I care about all women and girls and all trans people, because that's what a normal person does. But she consistently invokes this, I'm trying to protect LGB people. I don't want your protection, especially if it means that you are consistently speaking over me. Sure, you speak for a small part of this community who have decided that the best way to move forward is to throw other people under the bus, not realizing that they're paving the way for the same thing to happen to them. But that's not my problem. I don't want you to speak for me, so please don't do it. Which is really ironic, because when you call anti-trans people out, they will usually fall back on the, oh, another misogynistic man. No, I'm not speaking for you and telling you what you should and shouldn't think. I'm telling you that what you're saying is factually incorrect, and if you don't like that, then again, please don't say facts over feelings. Ultimately, if you are an ally, then you have to realise that it doesn't come with a shiny badge of honour. It comes with a lot of abuse. It comes with difficult times. It comes with you examining your own behaviour and making sure you're not perpetuating the very thing that you claim to hate. It's work. It's difficult, but it's honourable. And the honour comes with doing the right thing. There is no reward for being a decent person, because you should just want to be a decent person. If you're only in it for the accolades, then you're not a good person. Some of the people who annoy me the most are celebrities that have huge LGBT plus fan bases who are saying nothing about what's going on in America and what's going on in the UK with regards to us at the moment. Because they'll happily take our money and slap progress pride flags everywhere, but they won't talk about the injustices that we're going through, because they'll take our money, but they won't take any of the flack for actually supporting us and caring about us. So I urge you, if you're listening to this from outside of this community, I ask you, to accept that allyship is difficult, but that you're up to the challenge, that you're going to help us through this time. And if you aren't, accept that we owe you nothing. If you are only nice to people when they're nice to you, if you're only an ally when people like you, you aren't a good ally. Allyship doesn't mean only supporting people that are nice to you. It means supporting people's human fucking rights. And if you can't do that, then don't. But don't claim that you are something that you aren't, which is a hypocrite at best and a bigot at worst. This rhetoric is going to continue, and it's going to be a difficult few years while we try and win it round, and it's only going to get worse. And I'm interested to see who actually stands by us, who actually fights for us, because I bet we're in for a few really nasty shocks. When it comes to other people in my community, I think that we need to come to a consensus of what to do with people within the community that constantly throw us under the bus. I think that we really need to have some conversations about how we handle those people, how we treat them, what we do with them. Because we're currently watching people like Kelly Cadogan on TikTok throwing everybody else under the bus to try and get some semblance of respect from the people who will gladly throw her into the mincer of hate with the rest of us. And they're causing a lot of damage as well. But it also comes with a bigger discussion about what we do with people who really think that they're allies to us when they aren't. And two people who say that they're very invested in LGBT plus people and support and pride and things like that, ask yourself what you materially are doing to help people. If all it's doing is arguing with TERFs on the internet, you aren't doing anything, because TERFs really don't give a shit. Are you going to actual events and standing up against them and telling them why their bigotry is nonsense? Are you doing real things to support LGBT plus people? Are you supporting businesses who are owned and operated by LGBT plus people the same way that you would do for people of colour? Are you doing the right things to help LGBT plus people feel safe right now? Because that is what we need. And if you aren't, but you still want to be called an ally, ask what you're doing to earn that title. Ask why it should be conferred from us to you. And if you aren't doing anything, start. It's that simple. The next few years are going to be really, really scary and formative, and I really worry that we're going to go the wrong way. And maybe this podcast is all I'll end up leaving behind to evidence that I was here, because I'll be, at worst, thrown into a jail somewhere, or, you know, I end up having my head lopped off. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, but it's closer than you think. And I really urge people to consider the fact that I'm not being hyperbolic, and that could very much be a standard truth in a few years, if people don't stand up and help us. And I know that I'm centering myself as a white cis gay guy in the conversation, but I don't have anyone else with me here to kind of share a wider perspective. But it's worth doing some self-reflection. It's worth doing some reading. It's worth thinking about other intersectional communities that you could support. And ask yourself, are you doing the best to be a decent person? Are you reading books that make you feel uncomfortable but make you learn how to be a better person? If you aren't doing that, now is the time. I said it the other day in a video I really enjoyed making. One of my favourite Chinese proverbs is, the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago, and the second best time is now. So start planting the tree of being a better person. Because in 10 years, you'll really appreciate it, even if you have nothing to show for it now. We really need to make changes to make this world and make people more accepting and be more decent towards each other. You can be part of that. Anybody that listens to this can be part of that. It's up to you. You don't have to do it, but you should want to, because you should want to be a decent person. And I hope that this goes some way to explaining the level of frustration that I as a gay man feel towards cishet society. I am tired of having the same discussions at 35 as I was having at 15 on the internet, with people levelling accusations of impropriety at me, with people saying that I chose to be gay, which is absolute nonsense. I've known I was gay since I was like 5, probably 7 when I actually learned what gay was, but I knew that I wasn't like other boys, if you want to put it that way. There's so much stuff that you can do to help materially. So start doing it. Or ask yourself what's stopping you. And if you don't do this stuff, now you're aware of it. And it's your choice. Don't claim the title ally if you're not doing what it takes to earn it. Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me. And if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.